I serve as the Director of International Ministries for the GARBC. And the GARBC, the General Association of Regular Baptist Churches, is a fellowship of independent Baptist churches. I know many of you are acquainted. Scattered across the North American continent, about 1,300 churches. Not that well represented, frankly, in West Virginia. We have 18 churches in West Virginia. And I was just up in Monongah yesterday at the Monongah Baptist Church. How many of you know where Monongah is? Well, a few of you do. I wouldn't have known. But had a good time there. And it's a blessing to be with you here. I do regret that I need to jump out right after chapel and head for Pittsburgh to catch a plane. But I've been looking forward to this time with you. And we read this verse, the Lord added to his church daily such as should be saved. I want to tell you that the Lord is doing that all over the world. God is building his church in some seemingly unlikely places. And I want to take you to a few of those this morning. Let me begin by introducing you to my sweetheart and partner in ministry. Deb and I have been married for 41 years, and I love it when she's by my side. She's not able to be with me on this trip, but many of the international trips, she's able to be there, and she's able to minister to pastors' wives and other servants of the Lord, and so it's a delight to have her on those occasions. After serving the Lord as a pastor for many years, in 2006, the Lord directed through some unique circumstances that I don't have time to expand upon, but to lead me to this role with our fellowship of churches to give oversight to these two ministries, Gospel Literature Services, and you'll notice at the bottom of the icon there, IPFBM, International Partnership of Fundamental Baptist Ministries. And I'm going to try to talk to you about both of those ministries in the time that we have together. Notice the mission statement for Gospel Literature Services. Our mission is to supply biblical resources worldwide. If you'll stop there for a moment, we focus upon sending Sunday school material and vacation Bible school material around the world. Many other resources beyond that in terms of evangelistic tools, discipleship tools, but we send them to the users for free. We want them to be resourced. So we resource them with biblical resources to enable developing Baptist ministries to do what God's called the church to do, and that is to fulfill the Great Commission. We do that through a partnership that we have with Regular Baptist Press. RBP purposely prints more than they intend to sell, and we then are able to take the surplus and send it to our partners and national churches in various places. We send out about 3.5 tons of Sunday school material every quarter into 40 countries. Again, they receive it for free because we're trying to resource the church around the world. Now, in our new model, we are sending a lot of the material digitally. We did a survey of our partners and discovered that if we could package the material digitally in a software platform that they could open, we would be able to send it to 80% of them and give them permission to print, and they could use it. And so we're in that phase of doing it digitally. Both we've done it in the primary department. We're moving into the junior department. And this is going to save thousands of dollars, frankly, in shipping. And will enable us to continue to expand this ministry. Let me take you to South America, first of all. Guyana, South America, is the only English-speaking country of South America. When you arrive in the capital of Georgetown and you cross the river, you come to the villages. They do not have names, they have numbers. Village number one, then village number two, village number three. This particular picture is taken in village number 73. It's a ways from the capital. Somewhat of a remote area, but you'll notice they have a substantial building. Independent Baptist Church there. And I noticed when I walked in, immediately, I looked and I saw what was on the blackboard. And when I looked closely, I said, yes, this is RBP material that they received through Gospel Literature Services. It dawned on me that we have the opportunity to literally shape the theology of first-generation Christians and first-generation churches. The cults are in village number 73. Both the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses are there. Islam is in village number 73. We don't have any missionaries in village number 73. But this Baptist church that was started by missionaries at one time, that Baptist church is resourced with the kind of material that will help them to understand the doctrines of God, the doctrine of salvation, how the church is to operate biblically, because they're studying the Word through the lens of some material that will keep them in a fundamental position. And so we're very grateful for that opportunity. I met these three young ladies who teach Sunday school there in village number 73. Let me introduce you to these two young ladies. The one on the right, her name is Grace. The one on the left is named Pet. If you have a little animal in your house, that's her name, Pet. And I met them, and they had already become acquainted with Regular Baptist Press, and God had laid upon their heart the burden to translate the Sunday school material into the Thai language. They had already translated a couple quarters of the primary department when I met them, and learning of their burden, immediately sent each of them a new computer to help them with their translation projects. Began to send them about $100 a month just to tell them to keep going, encourage them. And they have now completed a three-year curriculum of the primary department, teacher's manuals, student material, activity sheets, handouts for the students. They are working now in the junior high, and Pet is working in the junior material. And it is such a blessing. Now, this is a laborious task. I mean, when you think about translating a teacher's manual, and there are 13 weeks in a quarter, and there are four quarters in a year, and 3 years in the curriculum, and that's just the primary department. And then you have all of the student material. They were showing me this material, how they had put it together. Here's 1 year of teacher's manuals for the primary department. They just photocopy it, put it in the plastic binders, hand it out to their teachers. And we're thrilled with the fact that God is using this material in that expanded way. I asked these ladies, well, here's a picture. This is an activity sheet. We call it a word hunt. You know, you find the word, it's on the diagonal. Can you imagine trying to adapt that to another language? Here it is in Thai. And it's pretty incredible what they're doing. I was doing a conference in Bangkok in 2009, and I asked these ladies if they would come to the conference and display their material, which they did. And these folks, among some others, walked by and saw this material and asked questions. This is Dr. Thong on the right and his son and daughter-in-law. And as they examined this material, they said, "That's what we need to do. We've got to put this material in Burmese for the people of Myanmar." And so they went back. They have now completed two teacher's manuals for the primary department in Myanmar. This past February, I was doing a regional conference for our partners in India, in South India, in the Godavari region. And this is a father and son, John and Prasad Sakali. And Prasad, at that conference in February, gave his life to the Lord for ministry. And he came to me after the conference and he said, "I really believe what God wants me to do right from the beginning is to translate Sunday school material to put it in the language for our kids in our churches." And he pulled together a team of four translators, rented a room about 10 kilometers from where they live, rented it on May 30th, and for 90 days. They started translating at daybreak. They would translate all day till it got dark, slept on the floor in that room, got up the next morning and did the same thing. And after 90 days, they had completed 1 year of primary Sunday school material. I mean, unbelievable task of just perseverance, daily working at that to accomplish it. Here they are in this room that they put that they had rented for these 90 days. I don't know how many of you have heard of the Telugu language. How many of you? There's a handful here. That's very good. It's spoken in the state of Andhra Pradesh, India. India, as you know, has 28 states. Every state speaks a different language. But Telugu is spoken in Andhra Pradesh by 84 million people, and most of us have never heard of that language. God's world is a big world, and there are people that need the Lord all over. We presently have portions of our curriculum in these six languages, and God continues to expand the ministry of Regular Baptist Press. This is Vacation Bible School in Northeast India. They do get a few students. You see them not only on the ground floor, but even up in the balcony there. This is the pastor's wife, Chingboy, and they're using the material that was called Dino Detectives. This is the staff for the Vacation Bible School in Durban, South Africa. They don't call it Vacation Bible School there. They call it Holiday Bible Club, but there are the students that came under the hearing of the Word of God using the material that we send them through Gospel Literature Services. I don't know what you know about South Africa, but it is so multi-ethnic. I love this picture because this is a place where you can sing that song, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious, and they're all there. They're all in the room. It's a wonderful mixture of God's family. Next couple pictures are a little fuzzy. They came to me over the internet, but they are using our material in Romania. They have translated portions of our material there. In the Philippines, in the southern island of Mindanao is the one place that if Philippines are in the news, that's what's in the news here, the island of Mindanao, because that's where most of the Islamic activity is taking place. But I want to tell you, God is working on the island of Mindanao as well. When my wife and I were there, we met this couple. She is actually the head of the hospital in Malaybalay in the Bukidnon region of Mindanao, and her husband is an entrepreneurial businessman. They shared with me their testimony, how they're part of the Bethel Baptist Church in Malaybalay. They said it's a wonderful church, has lots of programs. We were very comfortable. And then I'll never forget what they said. They said we were too comfortable. Is that possible? Can you get too comfortable? They, with the blessing of their church, went out into the rural area of Mindanao and they to reach the children. They did a vacation Bible school with the intent of starting a Sunday school. They discovered that children were walking 2 hours down these trails to come to vacation Bible school. Most of the children were coming from Islamic homes. The reason their parents allowed them to come was there was very little educational opportunity in the rural area of that island. And the parents saw this as an organized or formal educational setting. But what the Muslim doesn't understand is the power of the gospel. And as these boys and girls were confronted with the gospel one by one, they were coming to know Jesus as their Savior. They didn't really have any facilities. They were meeting under the mango tree and various other places. A little hard to color, wouldn't stay within the lines when you're on a bamboo bench. But these are precious kids that God in His mercy and grace is rescuing for His glory. In Korea, they're also using our material and translating some of it. Ghana in West Africa was formerly a British colony. They left the English behind, so Ghana is an English-speaking country of West Africa where they use our material. And you'll see the kids holding up their take-home paper, Primary PAL, there. You see the expansion of the ministry. Now, this is my My oldest daughter, Jody, they served for 10 years in Slovakia. And she is introducing Sunday school material to her friend Deniska. Deniska has been teaching for a couple of years in the children's department. Never heard of Sunday school material. Didn't know it existed. She said, every week I have to figure out where am I going to go with these kids next week. And as Jody showed her this material, she's like, you mean to tell me somebody's thought that through? You mean, and look at here, they even give you some ideas as to how to teach the lesson. I mean, she was blown away. Things that we take for granted here are not available in other places. And so we thank the Lord. Kenya, again, East Africa, English-speaking, where they're using our material. Myanmar, they're using our material. In the Chin State, some translated material, some in English. We do gospel tracts in various languages. This is a part of gospel literature services. Now, I want to tell you briefly about the other part of our ministry, and that is the International Partnership of Fundamental Baptist Ministries. This graphic shows you where we have partners right now. We have 58 associations of independent Baptist churches that partner with us. You see, in 1999, the GRBC began to look around the world and said, we've had missionaries out for nearly 80 years. Where the gospel's been fruitful, churches have been planted, and they have formed their own associations. And surely there could be some benefit of a peer relationship between associations of independent Baptist churches that are solid in biblical doctrine, separated from liberalism, and committed to the Great Commission. And so on that basis, we have found partners in various places. Now, there are some real voids in the world as to where we do not currently have partners. But notice on the left side of your screen where it says India, it says 22. That's not 22 churches. That's 22 associations of independent Baptist churches that partner with us in India. God is doing some amazing things in the dark continent of India. And I want to take you, in the few minutes we have left, I want to take you to a couple of these countries. I want you to see what God is doing. India, of course, is 75% Hindu. The cow is considered sacred. In Hinduism, they have 330 million gods. You decide, you choose the gods that you want to serve within Hinduism. I took this picture. It's right alongside of the road. You can stop and buy one of your gods. The elephant god is a very popular one. You need to be mindful of the fact, though, if you buy the god and take it home with you, you need to make sure you put him in a safe place. I mean, not where the kids are going to run and knock him over. You know, you want to make sure you keep him dusted. I mean, a spider and you're making a web on your god. I mean, you can't do that. In Hinduism, you take care of your god. Do you see how backward that is? How blind it is? Isn't it wonderful to know the God who takes care of us? The God who is a living God, who hears and answers our prayer. But these folks are blind and they're lost in the pagan god of Hinduism. H.C. Stephen pastors in northeast India in the state of Manipur in the city of Churchanpur. I was there for a conference. They had about 1,500 every night for a week to hear the word of God. That association is sending out missionaries to Nepal, to Buddhist Nepal. This is Pastor Gore Tamang, a missionary out of India in Nepal. They're baptizing believers. They're planting churches. They have orphanages there where they're rescuing kids from the streets. In northeast India, in the city of Nonne, I visited there. It's right in northeast India, and Pastor Pusiam and his wife met me. He took me out to this bare piece of property, began to share with me his vision. He said, "I'm asking God to help us reach this village for Christ." He says, "And I believe that we've got to do it by starting with the children. They're the most open in this Hindu culture." And so he says, "I want to start a Christian school. Many of the kids are orphans. I envision on this piece of property a large building, On one end will be a boys' dorm. On the other end will be a girls' dorm. It will be classrooms for the Christian school. And in the middle will be a large auditorium where we'll start a local church. And I want to start a Bible school to train young men for pastoring. And I mean, this guy has this huge vision. And we're standing on this bare piece of property. And about a year later, I get embedded in an email this picture. It was happening. And about 6 months after that, I got this picture. And along with that was this picture. 650 students. Mostly Hindu families sending their kids to the Christian school who are being schooled in the Word of God. This is right in India. God is doing some amazing things. In Southeast India, I visited the ministry of Dr. Chatladeva Sahayam and his wife Saguna. This picture was taken on a Sunday morning. I was getting ready to preach. He's the one that put me in these clothing. My wife is in a sari. I told her she didn't look too sorry. I thought she looked nice. Notice the cultural differences. They're seated on the floor. You take your shoes off before you come into church. They sit cross-legged. Service starts at noon on Sunday and it goes to 4 o'clock. They sit cross-legged for 4 hours. I thought about that. If I sat for 4 hours cross-legged, I couldn't move either. But this is their culture. Ladies are all on one side. It looks like they're all ladies. This is the one section of ladies. The men are on the other side. There were about 750 there for that Sunday morning ministry. They have a Christian school there. This lady is sleeping in church. But I need to tell you the story behind this. The first 5 days of every month in this ministry is set aside for prayer, which means that people come to church on the first day of the month and no one goes home to the fifth day. They go to work and they come back to church. Go to work, come back to church. Nobody goes home. And there are groups praying for 24 hours a day for 5 days. They do it every month. This is the way it works. This group right down here is praying, and it's midnight, 1:30 in the morning. You're getting really tired. You wake up this group that's sleeping right here on the floor, lying right here on the floor sleeping. You wake them up. You get up. You start praying for an hour, hour and a half. You lay down and go to sleep. And when you're tired, you wake up this group over here that's laying on the floor. And they do that for 5 days. I said to Dr. Chatla, I said, I don't know anyone in the States or anything that resembles that in the States. And I said to him, why do you do it like that? Dr. Anderson, he looked me straight in the eye. And this is what he said. Because God answers prayer. I felt about this high. Because, you see, though we preach about it and talk about it and we do pray, the smallest service in all of our churches is the prayer meeting. But these folks are committed to prayer. And God is greatly answering their prayers. And it's wonderful. I was there for the week leading up to New Year's. Dr. Chatla said, I want you to come for our 60th anniversary conference. He says, now, I don't want anybody discouraged because on Monday we'll have a small crowd. But he said, it'll grow all week. So Monday night he had 800 there. Tuesday night was 1,300. By Thursday night there were 3,000. He said, well, we're never going to be able to hold them tomorrow night. Tomorrow night was New Year's Eve. He said, so he brought in 2 big tents and put them outside, put screens on them, simulcasted out to those screens, put 3,000 inside and 1,000 in each tent. And I preached to 5,000 that night. But the thing that really gripped my heart was when it came to 11:30 and Dr. Chatla picked up the mic and he said, it's time to usher in the new year in prayer. And I had the opportunity, folks, to pray in the new year with 5,000 former Hindus. Former Hindus, now believers in Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he is doing that in some phenomenal ways. In Kenya, in East Africa, God is working. This is Dr. David Osoi. We had a VBS project last year to build a home there. And, of course, They don't have power tools. They build it by hand. I will be there in 2 weeks to dedicate this orphanage and hold a conference for them there in Kenya. Indonesia is the largest Muslim majority country in the world, and 65% are Muslims. This group right here set a goal of establishing 134 churches by 2020. That's an independent Baptist church in every city on the island of Sumatra, which is their island. And that was right after the tsunami. That's when they set the goal. I was with them in 2008 when they were evaluating their project, their progress, and they moved the goal from 2020 to 2015 because God had already enabled them to plant 44 churches. This is in Muslim country. The Lord Jesus is doing what he said. He is building his church. And students, as you think about your life work and your life ministry, Jesus said, behold, the fields are white unto harvest. And I'm here to tell you they are. God is working, and there's a need for laborers. And I trust that God will work in your heart as well. Let's pray. Loving Father, we rejoice in who you are. We thank you for your grace and your mercy and your power to save. We pray, dear God, that you will enable us to be the servants you want us to be in this dark place. May we be the light of the world as Jesus has commanded us to be that light. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.